Well, that gospel reading this morning, and well done, Jane, for plowing through the whole of that, it might have come as a bit of a surprise. Here we are. It's only just over 3 weeks until the start of Lent. Our minds will soon be turning towards Easter, and we were carried back to Christmas. But that was the set reading for today, because it would have been 40 days after Jesus' birth that Mary and Joseph took him to the temple, the purification rites required by the law of Moses. And actually, looking at this passage midway between Christmas and Easter can actually help us to see how those two events were intimately linked and actually what they mean for us today, what it means for us to follow that journey as disciples of the Lord Jesus. We actually start just before our reading, let's flip back to verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was given the name Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. It is, of course, the thing that right through both Luke and Matthew's account of the Nativity, the thing that stands out most clearly about Jesus is that he will be the one who saves his people from their sins. We remember back to Christmas when Gabriel came to tell Mary she was to have a child. He told her, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." And in Matthew 1:21, that was explained. You're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So when Mary and Joseph gave their baby the name Jesus, it wasn't just a nice name. It was a clear description of what the child would do. He would be a savior. For hundreds of years, faithful Jews had been looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, the one who would set Israel free. And as we heard, Luke introduces us to one of these faithful Jews. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Simeon would have known about all the wonderful promises that God had given his people in the Old Testament. Passages like the one from Micah, which very often appears in carol services. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be their peace. Centuries had passed as people longed for the coming of the one who would bring in that day of salvation. And now Simeon saw the fulfillment of that great promise. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. This child really is the Savior. And not just for the Jews. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So the first thing Luke tells us here is that the coming of the Lord Jesus means salvation. Now, that might all seem quite obvious to us. We heard it probably several times over the Christmas period. But it's worth stopping and looking at Simeon. Because when you do that, you see that for him, this was the most important thing in the world. It was utterly life-transforming. Nothing else mattered anymore. Our theme verse for the year reminds us that the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. But that salvation is found in the context of a new life. In our epistle from Galatians. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Salvation involves a whole change of status. It involves a radical change in your life. See, it's so important to remember, salvation is not just about being forgiven so that when you die you can go to heaven, but in the meantime going on pretty much as you were before. But that does seem to me to be how so many Christians do live. Pretty well indistinguishable from the world. But biblically, salvation is so much more than that. It's about a radical change of heart, a radical change of allegiance now. It's about being able to say with the Apostle Paul, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." The coming of Jesus means salvation. Rescue from an old way of life into the life of God's kingdom. There can be nothing more important. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Nothing else matters. But secondly, the coming of Jesus did mean surprise. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah to come. But he would presumably have been expecting the rise of a great new king, greater even than King David, the coming of a mighty Savior who would save Israel from the Romans and establish a kingdom of justice and peace. And yet it was so different from that. The child had been born in such humble circumstances. Mary wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger. That is not what you would expect for someone who had come to rule the world. And then here, around 6 weeks after the birth, it was time for Joseph and Mary to go to the temple in Jerusalem. After childbirth, the woman had to wait 40 days before she could go to the temple again, the time of her purification in the law of Moses. And we know that things were tight financially for Joseph and Mary. Back in Leviticus 12, the law said, when the days of her purification are over, she is to bring to the priest at the entrance to the tent of meeting a year-old lamb. If she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons. And Mary and Joseph were too poor to afford a lamb. A sure sign that the Savior of the world was born into unexpected poverty. So it must have been a huge surprise for Simeon when he saw the baby in the arms of a poor woman, and the Holy Spirit prompted him to realize that this truly was the one he had been waiting for. And of course, that continued throughout Jesus' life. So many people in Israel waiting for the coming of the Messiah, yet so few who recognized that it had happened. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. How easy it would have been for Simeon to miss it, because it was outside the boundaries of his expectations. But he was open enough to God acting in a way that not only was unexpected, but actually didn't really make much sense. Jesus came with surprise. And just like Simeon, we can be righteous and devout, and still God comes and turns our expectations upside down. And of course, surprise is very often uncomfortable. Mostly people are happiest when they can settle into a routine where everything is predictable. Whether we like to admit it or not, we all have a comfort zone. We don't like being moved outside it. And so there's this strange thing that we want God to act, but to do it in a way that fits our expectations. We want him to do what we want him to do. That was the issue when Jesus came. He was not what anyone expected the Messiah to be, so they rejected him. And it still goes on today. The idea that God might want to do something radically outside our previous experience or our expectations, that can just be too uncomfortable to think about. So there was salvation. There was surprise. And lastly, there was suffering. Simeon said to Mary, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. The birth of a child should be a time for looking forward with excitement. But for Mary, those months leading up to the birth of Jesus must have been times of real suffering. And then when her baby was finally born, a baby who Mary knew was the Son of God, who'd come to be the Savior of the world, even the wonder and the joy of that were mixed with this warning of suffering. A sword will pierce your own soul too. And for the next 33 years, Mary must have carried those words with her. But it wasn't just Mary. There is a sense in which the Christian life has to begin with suffering. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. And I think that what Simeon meant was that before anyone can be raised, saved, forgiven, they have to be stripped of their self-confidence. They've got to be brought down or fall. Before you can be saved, you have to be humble enough to accept your need of a Savior. You have to be prepared to admit that you're a sinner, that nothing you do can save you. And that is not pleasant. Which I guess is why so many people do shy away from the Christian faith, or try to generate some sort of pain-free version of it. And it continues through the Christian life. I think that of all the things which the New Testament tells us about the Christian life, the clearest and most repeated thing is that it involves suffering. Paul in Philippians 1, "For it has been granted to you not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him." The two, I'm afraid, go hand in hand. Yes, there is joy in following Jesus. There is fulfillment in serving him. But please don't expect it always to be enjoyable. Because from the word go, the Christian life has been a life of suffering. So as Luke tells us of this day when Jesus was taken to the temple and recognized by Simeon, he also points us to three aspects of discipleship, just as true today as they were then. Jesus came to bring salvation. But that means so much more than just that you can go to heaven when you die. It means a radically transformed life now. It means being saved from the broken relationships and broken dreams of the world, not bringing those things with you into church. If in 2020 we're going to grasp the full meaning of our theme verse, we will need to understand that the salvation which the gospel brings is not a bolt-on to your life, it is the start of a whole new life. We will have to learn afresh what salvation means and put it into practice. Jesus came with surprise, and that is often uncomfortable. And I think one of the challenges of this passage is, are you expecting everything in your relationship with God will just trundle along unchanged year after year? Are you wanting God to surprise you, but only in the way you're expecting him to? Because if so, you may well miss out on what God actually wants to do. And Jesus came with suffering. So do you look for a safe and comfortable distortion of Christianity, one which will just leave you feeling good? Or will you follow Jesus and Mary and Paul and be willing to suffer for the gospel and for the church?
A full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. And did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee,
And grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this, as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." Amen.
We use the words of the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord and Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, entirely desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee. Humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this, our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offences. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honour and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. And we stand to use the words of the Gloria together. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory, O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The aged Simeon, when he saw the Lord Jesus, said that God could let him go in peace because his life was fulfilled. And that vision of Jesus is one which should give us more satisfaction than anything else this world offers. And our last hymn points us to that. Jesus, the name high over all. Number 279 in our hymn books, we sing together. Jesus, the name high over all, number 279.
the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.